Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So, you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So, whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
We turn the calendar page, and it's another year. Feels like yesterday it was 2023, Marcus.
It sure does, and the older we get, Ray, the faster these years roll through.
Oh, wait. Yesterday was 2023. We're putting this out on January 1st, right?
Yep. Hungover.
And that means that yesterday was 2023, and here we go. With a bit of a hangover as we were talking about what kind of characterization of the year we just had deserved on the 1st of January. A lot of people suffering from hangovers with their parties on New Year's Eve, on New Year's Day. But we had a bit of a hangover too. I feel kind of worn out by a lot of the amazing things that we did in a year.
Mm-hmm.
That is our fifth year together. Can you believe that part?
Had no idea how long it'll go. Have no idea in the future how long it'll go. But as long as we keep doing it, it keeps going.
It's a self-perpetuating myth at this point.
Totally.
It is the imbalanced history of rock and roll. Brought to you as always by our friends at Crooked Eye Brewery in the heart of Hatboro. Pouring the cure since 2014. And I can do my math, even when we've been smoking before the session. And that's 10 years, dude. February 1st for them is 10 years as a brewery.
So that's awesome.
Want to celebrate that. We'll talk a little bit about that as we get into the next couple weeks. But there's tons to talk about looking back on the year that we had. An amazing year working with friends, old and new, making 88 episodes as a podcast.
We did 88, including the Bent News.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a lot.
And we wrapped up a busy January last year with one of the last interviews ever with Denny Lane, who we just lost. What a great guy. And he was on the beginning of his last tour. It was an honor to speak with him always.
But as far as me doing my own shows, I hadn't really worked since the pandemic. So, you know, the fact that I'm out there doing it again now, and, you know, I tried one out the other night and it went down really well. So I managed to get everything in there and it was a good night, you know. It's a sort of a tester and people like it. You know, they just, as you say, it's more of an intimate thing and it's fun for me. I can move it around if I want to.
During the pandemic, which you mentioned, how did you get through the day? How did you manage to get through and keep music happening in your day?
You know, I live out in the country. In Florida. So, I mean, I kind of cut myself off, you know. Uh-huh. Well, I was making, writing songs and recording ideas and stuff like that. You know, I spoke to Paul about, this was all about the vaccine situation. And at the time, I didn't believe in it. And he said, oh, you should get it, man. It's the only way you're going to get any work, which is true. And so I did. And then that's when I started working then to do that tour, you know.
Yeah, great guy. So sad that he got so sick. Still had so much music he wanted to play, too. He was really fighting hard to recover and get back out on the road and to share music with everybody.
In February, we released what Spotify told us is our episode of the year. It's a lot of downloads, buddy. The Fleetwood Mac story, which we both loved doing it, and you did such a great job of producing.
Thanks. It was a fun episode to put together, and I learned a lot getting ready for the episode, and there's still so much more to learn. But boy, what a fun and interesting history the band Fleetwood Mac has, going back to the early days and then to what they became. Wow, what an evolution.
We had fun exploring a show that was influential in both of our musical upbringings. The Soul Train story was part of our year.
Yeah, Eric Denois is fantastic. She wrote a great book about the Soul Train story. That episode was really fun because I watched some old episodes on YouTube and segments of old episodes, and it took me back to my childhood and the importance of Soul Train on culture. Large and great, and we got lucky that that was a show that was part of our childhood and teen years.
And she really gave us a great perspective because of the way she came to the story, starting out to write a book and then being in the middle of the story when Don took his life.
Yeah.
Hey man, we've been digging on the blues and telling people stuff that we're learning or relearning about the blues and those influential blues people over the last couple of years of the podcast. But Memphis Minnie and Blind Lemon Jefferson in the same episode was a mind blower for me.
Me too. Two totally different styles of the blues, yet two people who had a huge influence on the rock and roll that we hear today. To hear how Memphis Minnie was so badass and to learn about how fucking tough she was and how just great she was.
Every keeps on raining, levee's going to break. Every keeps on raining, levee's going to break. And the water gonna come, I have no place to stay.
And Blind Lemon Jefferson, he fought the odds. You know, he battled the system even more so because he had no vision. And the music that he created had such a huge influence on so many people.
In April, we did it again, Marcus. Punk Rock Month. And it was just as much fun this year as last, I thought.
I think punk rock music needs to be explored a little bit more in the mainstream, so that people understand why it was and why these bands did what they did. And we got to explore the Plasmatics, which was just wonderful because they're a band who made you uncomfortable. And the only way you can change as a human being is if you get a little uncomfortable and it makes you think and reevaluate a few things. That was one of the things that they wanted to do, and they did it very well, but their music was ferocious.
You know, one of the things you said in there is very true. The whole impact of the punk rock movement and so many of the bands. And I think the reason is that for the most part, they were really shitty at self-promotion. And so we're here and alive, unlike some of them. We lost Tom Verlaine this year, speaking of greats. And I just think we got to keep doing that as long as we do the podcast every year and keep exploring that. And of course, in other months too.
Oh, yeah.
We got on a summer roll here on The Imbalance History with an episode about the Police.
There is no political solution to our troubled evolution. Have no faith in constitution. There is no bloody revolution.
Followed by Peter Gabriel and an episode that was really cool about his solo cycle of four albums, the first four albums.
I took no means to show identification. I took no paper to show you what I am. You'll have to take me just the way that you find me.
a great episode about Janis Joplin and her life as it led her to the summer of 1967. And we did an episode called 1967 Summer of Love. And that was great, too. It shed a lot of light for me as we did the research.
Oh, yeah. That time period, I was just a wee little baby still in a diaper during the Summer of Love. And so I missed it. My parents weren't really a part of it. My dad liked some of the music, but not a lot of the music. So it was fun learning and then relearning some of the historical stuff that I learned in college about that time period. You know, the Police was a great band to cover because of their importance to both of us in those influential years. Peter Gabriel, not only as a musician that we both enjoy, but those first four solo albums were so important in his evolution and growth as a musician, an artist, and as a performer that they needed to happen. And to talk about those four albums was a blast. And then, of course, Janis, a beautiful soul with a sad life. And the things that she did were incredible in her short period. But yes, the sadness underneath it all.
Hers was just one part of that story of the summer of 67. And we really got into all the nooks and crannies as much as we could in one episode. Might be something we have to go back and look at again in future episodes. It's the Hangover Effect here on the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. We're talking a little bit about the year that was our fifth year, closing out at the end of February. You know, we talked to some pretty impressive authors, too. Mick Wall was on the podcast and Scott Shea, and they both talked about the Southern California rock scene, which was so influential throughout the 70s and beyond.
Truly, and with Scott Shea's book about the Mamas and the Papas and the whole Laurel Canyon scene, we got a very intense insight onto who the Mamas and Papas were and everything that was peripheral, because that peripheral scene is just as important as the focal point of the book or the story or the documentary.
Right.
Scott Shea did an exceptional job sharing that story. There were things in the Mamas and Papas book that made you feel uncomfortable and weren't so nice. They made great music. They wrote beautiful songs. But again, the balance of the positive and the negative in the entertainment industry sometimes happens. And so you got to see it all. With Mick Wall telling the story of the Eagles, he does an exceptional job telling that story.
Other things, too.
Yep. Yeah. And whether you like the Eagles or not, that story is important in
his story. The things that came out of him during that episode were incredible. And something else about those two episodes, if you think about it, Scott and Mick's books, if you kind of interlock them, they pretty much give you the genesis through the explosion of the whole Southern California scene. And it was great to have them on just weeks apart. Hey, you know what else was cool for me? I've always been a Straubs fan. And to have David Cousins on the podcast, not only was it an incredible experience to talk to him, but he was so full of stories and energy. It was cool, man.
He's really cool. And I'm familiar with the Straubs, not that knowledgeable by any means, but it was fun learning about them and then hearing his stories and hearing him talk about so much about that time period where the Straubs were really, you know, rolling was so much fun to hear, because you get to hear everything that's peripheral to the mainstream, and bands like the Straubs are very important in that rock and roll timeline.
He really did give us the sense of those things, those elements that maybe a lot of people might have missed, even if they were listening to them back when they were a new band in the 70s. He also told us stuff that we didn't know about his own story, and then everything that he started talking about, his tunings and how it relates to the banjo, blew my fucking mind. So thanks again to David for coming on, and to Scott Blubahn for setting that up, and for all the other stuff that Scott sets up for us in a year. Thanks, buddy.
Absolutely. And if you're a guitar nerd, you definitely need to check out the Dave Cousins episode, because you will start drooling when he starts talking about his tuning and his playing and some of the funky things that he loves to do as a guitarist.
Some people would call that a year in a podcast life, Marcus, but no, we continue to do a great string of episodes through the end of summer into the fall. And it brings us around to a set of circumstances where I posted about the new stuff I was hearing from a long-lost Teddy Pendergrass album. And I got a message from somebody I know, Jim Salamone, who later came on the podcast and told us about his role as the producer on 7 of the 10 tracks on the Teddy Pendergrass album, which was reissued this year. And that was fun. We learned a lot about Teddy and that whole production aspect. But other things, too, from Jim telling us about all the different things he did in his career. It's kind of cool.
Oh, yeah. That was a fun episode. And to get to hear the Teddy music was just wonderful. Big fan of him. His voice is beautiful. He's tied to the Philadelphia area. And it's always cool to hear stories about albums like this. And holiday albums are great.
And then came Crimson. King Crimson, in the form of Toby Ames, the director of their documentary. And I haven't heard anything from Fripp yet, so I guess we did okay.
Yeah, that was a fun episode. I've loved King Crimson since the late 70s, early 80s when I first heard them, and then continued to follow their music forward and go back and learn their older music. I never knew a lot about the individuals or got into the band that heavy, but I've always loved their music. And so to learn about some of the more intricate things about this band and the whole mindset on how they roll was fascinating. And to get into Robert Fripp's head and hear him talk about it and hear everybody else talk about Robert Fripp around him, because he is the heart and soul of King Crimson, was a blast. And Toby had some great stories.
Check out the documentary if you can. The links are in the episode on imbalancedhistory.com. We always tell you at the end of each episode to reach out and let us know what you thought about what we were talking about or if you had input. And some of you have been quite productive this year. We've become friends with Matthew from Detroit. And he sent us a note just a couple weeks ago. It says, Spotify says I listen a lot. I don't disagree. I went back and binged a lot of the older episodes, and I have more to go.
Also, thanks to Steve Strickland for reaching out. Yo, youngsters, and I assume much of your support crew are even younger, enjoy your work. Good that the Sam Cooke cover was acknowledged, but large gaffe in not crediting Junior Walker for What Does It Take. Extra errata, Walker played sax on Foreigner's Urgent. Knew that one. Top five British singers, the genre-defying Robert Palmer. He was a favorite of mine way before he blew up on MTV. We're all nerds, but y'alls make me feel like an elderly hipster. Rock on, lads. Rock on, Steve.
Hey, Steve, I got two words for you. Vinegar Joe, all right? Now you know how long I go back with Robert Palmer. We heard from Mike Colbert. Hey, guys, you had a friend of mine on your podcast on November 20th. Jim Salamone. Did I spell it right? Yes, you did. Or no, wait a minute. Maybe he didn't. Anyway, I'd like to listen and to check out you guys as well. So how did I get into rock music, you ask? Well, when I was about 5 years old or so, my uncle played me a guitar instrumental called Rebel Rouser by Duane Eddy. Ooh, he was infected from the beginning, wasn't he? I asked my uncle what sound and instrument that was, and he said, that's a guitar. So I said, I'm gonna play guitar. Well, I've been teaching guitar now for 45 years, and I shared that story with Duane Eddy last year, and he wrote back to me, thought you guys might like a little background story. Good luck, and looking forward to hearing your podcast. Oh, I know. We'd love to have Duane Eddy on. You can tell him. He can reach out to us. He can come be on our podcast anytime.
I would love to have Duane Eddy on our podcast. Absolutely. That would be amazing. Hi, guys. Love the podcast and just listened to your latest drop, the UK Singers from the 70s. And I hadn't realized that Marcus and I had our passion for the Godfather of Mod in common. Is there a chance of an episode on the man himself, the one and only Paul Weller? I know he appears in casts all over the place, but I cannot recall one that is dedicated. Thanks from Down Under, Clive Elks. We will definitely do an episode on the Mod Father. Mr. Paul Weller because he is rad.
I concur, and I knew it, Marcus. There's another email from Matt Rulin, who wanted to contribute on our top five favorite guitar players thing. He said, I agree it needs to be broken down by decades, which is not a bad idea, because it's too tough to do the whole thing, you know? So you guys picked many I would have picked, and Vegas wouldn't have been happy. In my list, I won't duplicate your hour picks and list totally different guitarists. And even doing that was hard to choose. Top five, he listed Jeff Beck, Robert Fripp, who we just were talking about, Carlos Santana, Pete Townsend, and Mark Knopfler. Good stuff. By the way, I think at some point we need to do a listener five favorites on something. That would be a good topic, guitars, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Remember we did the episode, I See Dead People, or I Hear Dead People? I think that's what we called it, right? And we couldn't figure out who some of the people were that were on the painting or the picture that we were working off. And one was definitely called, well, by Flaming Skull Dude, and his other handle is C-Bon Scott. As Bon Scott, and you got a message that one might be Gary Moore, right?
I did, and it's not bad, and it's a pretty smart guess, and
yeah,
looks a lot like him. So,
and I was talking about early in that episode about the woman serving drinks, and I figured it out. It's Anna Nicole Smith, who passed away a long time ago too, at a very young age. So that's pretty cool, man. We had some fun with that. I'm glad you guys were paying attention, because we couldn't figure those out. So thank you very much. Like it. Mark Chris checked in about the one-hit wonders. What a fantastic episode. Thank you. Thank you very much, Mark. Both of your lists were outstanding. Love the nod to Sniff and the Tears and Nick Gilder. How can you not love Hot Child in the City, man?
Heck yeah, and Driver's Seat, too. Both great.
Yeah.
There's so many fun one-hit wonders from the 70s, so...
He hit me with a couple of them. MacArthur Park from Richard Harris. Grazing in the Grass by the Friends of Distinction. Roll that sucker.
It sure is Miller.
Also, we got a pretty long dissertation from Linda Newman. Thank you very much for thinking that much on the one-hit wonder subject in general. But not only giving us a link, which we'll put up in this episode, about the origin of the band and their name, the Jaggers. That was Donny Iris's band. He was the three-time one-hit wonder with them, and then on his own, and then with Wild Cherry. So thank you, Linda Newman.
More than ever, you wanted to know about the Jaggers. Anyway, I wish you guys could just record a show where you play all the songs you mentioned. Notice you both excel at hitting those vocal posts. I did a short stint as a DJ, but by the time FM was king and jocks didn't talk up to the vocals anymore. But you guys really brought me back to the carefree days of youth when rock and roll and pop ruled the airwaves. Black, white, Latino, it was all part of one big, wonderful groove. And that's how I remember it. Anyway, thanks so much for the show, and keep on rocking.
And you know what's funny is she thinks we're hitting the post, but all I'll say is that editing software is a DJ's best friend when you're doing a podcast like The Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. I've been thinking about Hefe. Haven't heard from him in too long. I sent him an email the other day. Hopefully we hear back. We miss you, man. No matter where you are in the universe, we miss you.
Definitely.
So we're wrapping up year number five. Any thoughts about the experience and the music and all that?
It's been a wild ride. It's been a lot of fun reading and researching and learning and listening and relearning and talking to so many people and reading some amazing books and seeing some documentaries and having great conversations just about music. It's been a friggin' blast. And it's a conversation that I keep enjoying. And the older I get, I think the more and more I enjoy it.
I agree with you there, man. I really do.
Seriously, I was at a soccer coach's party for our kids, and all the dads that I was talking to started talking about soccer, but literally within 7 or 8 minutes, one of the other fathers started talking about music, and it was on like Donkey Kong.
Yo!
Started talking about concerts, and it was so much fun. So music conversations I love, and I love having them with you. We've been having them for over 20 years, so I expect them to keep continuing moving forward.
And we got to thank you guys all over the globe. Happy holidays, whichever ones you're celebrating. Our core audience, sure, in the U.S. and Canada, U.K. and Australia, but we really went international this year. We kept showing up on the chartable charts in small countries all over the world, where it just kind of blows our minds. Even major support now coming in places like Ireland, which everybody told us when we started this podcast, when Ireland's listening, you're doing great. So thank you, Ireland and New Zealand and the United Arab Emirates and Kenya, Jordan, Dominican Republic, which is a great place to visit. And they're listening to us, man. So funny. New Guinea and Ghana and Honduras and Qatar and Cambodia. Whew, all over the place. And by the way, we had some places right here at home in the United States, like Charleston, West Virginia. There's a place in Georgia, south of Atlanta, where all town must be listening. Walk around going, what? You know? Utica, New York, and Hartford, and New Haven, and Connecticut. Who are you? Where are you? You can always tell us by sending us an email to imbalancedhistory@gmail.com.
We'll talk about some of those we lost after the short break and some of the music that maybe we really enjoyed in 2023 as well.
It's the hangover episode of the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll.
Ho, 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 Marcus. It's that time of year, Crooked Eye Brewery in the heart of Hatboro. Time for Santa's arrival and all the joy and Yuletide cheer all in one place there as the holiday season gets into full swing at Crooked Eye.
Ray, I know you get totally stoked for the holiday season, and we know that people like to gather with their friends, with their family, and Crooked Eye right in the heart of Hatboro, a great place to gather for the holidays. They have a great selection of beers. They have their local spirits. They've got food, live music, all the stuff that makes a great gathering place.
And here in the holiday season, they are setting up the celebration of 10 years of pouring the cure for what ails you right there at York and Montgomery and Hapro, coming up in February. 10 years of Crooked Eye. And in March, it's 5 years of us as a podcast, believe it or not. And they've been with us almost since the very beginning. So we go together at the 5 and 10 celebration coming up in the new year. Things to look forward to in 2024. But really, we just want to thank Paul and Paul and everybody there at Crooked Eye for their support this week and every week for forever, basically. And wish them all a very happy Yuletide season, and we'll see you soon.
Don't forget, if you're looking for a great place to get together with a friend or family, Crooked Eye in the heart of Hatboro.
Hey, Pantheon listeners, Christian Swain here, taking a break from listening to a little Shout It Out Loudcast episode. Love Tom and Zeus talking all things Kiss. Of course, I was listening to them on my new Raycon wireless earbuds. They have quickly become my go-to earbuds because of the comfort. These soft tips are the best I've ever used. And at this price, plus a Pantheon discount, Raycon is really hitting on all marks. Sound quality is great too. I really love having these three EQ options because I like more bass in the music, but less in my podcast. 8 hours of playtime for the battery is great as well. Surround sound, noise isolating, and awareness mode are all included. These are great earbuds. Go to buyraycon.com/pantheon today to get 20% off your Raycom order plus free shipping. That's right. You'll get 20% off and free shipping at buyraycon.com/pantheon. buyraycon.com/pantheon.
Back from the break and ready to keep it rolling. Got to have a cold one and then mix in some water and something to eat. That's usually good for a hangover, right?
Oh, yeah.
Suffering a little bit here to start the new year of the Imbalance History. We thought it'd be fun to look back at a lot of the things that happened last year and look forward as well. Sadly, death did not take any holidays, I don't think at all, in 2023. And towards the end of the year, Marcus, we got this picture that I'm looking at, and it's kind of like that I Hear Dead People thing that we posted earlier in the year when we found that. But I get this thing, and without looking at the guide that tells you who's what, I open it up, and it's kind of like in Sergeant Pepper fashion, and Jimmy Buffett's in the front. This happened just a short time ago, because Ryan O'Neill's behind that, Pee-wee's in front of the drum, Dame Edna, who's a hoot and a favorite forever, Tina Turner, David Crosby, Matthew Perry, Burt Bacharach. Hey, Death, go fuck yourself. Jesus Christ, that right there in some years would have been like the loss of star power alone would have been enough to break your heart as a fan of the arts and music. But there's a whole lot more.
Oh, huge list. I mean, look, we lost Harry Belafonte.
Down the way where the nights are gay and the sun shines daily on the mountaintop, I took a trip on a sailing ship, and when I reached Jamaica, I made a stop. But I'm sad to say I'm on my way. Won't be back for many a day. My heart is down, my head is turning around. I had to leave a little girl in Kingston Town.
We lost the bass player of the Smiths, Andy Rourke. He's a young cat. Anthony Top Topham of the Yardbirds. Robbie Robertson.
Tony Bennett.
The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. The glory that was Rome is of another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm going home to my city by the bay. I left my heart in San Francisco.
Robbie and Tim Bachman within a few weeks of each other. Brothers. Dude. From BTO.
Richard Roundtree, the original Shaft, and so much more, right?
Yep. Randy Meisner of the Eagles.
And it seems like just a minute ago, we lost Shane McGowan from the Pogues. We could just sit here and reel off names. I mentioned Tom Verlaine. I'll mention him again. And Gary Rossington, one of my favorite people I ever worked with in the record company days.
Yep.
I mean, I'm just like blown away by the loss of star power, if you want to call it that. the people and what they did. Glenda Jackson, a groundbreaking actor.
Mm-hmm.
We lost Ducky, who was also Ilya Kuryakin on The Man from U.N.C.L.E. David McCallum.
Suzanne Somers.
And if we're going to go gorgeous gals, Gina Lollobrigida and Raquel Welch, along with Suzanne in the same year.
Sinead O'Connor.
Just an incredible year of loss of people who made a difference in the world of arts, which affects so many of us in a good way. I know it's going to sound like old guy shit, but this is a year where I really felt like part of my life disappeared week after week. Gary Wright, thinking of him at JFK Stadium in 76, all by himself on stage. One of the coolest things I'd seen to that point at concerts. Not a big fan, but, you know, Jerry Springer, the guy who played Bull on Night Court. Richard Mall, Piper Laurie. I mean, people from all different fields of entertainment and music. The great Burt Young, a vicious character actor.
Oh, great character actor. You also had Lisa Marie Presley. You had the great actor Andre Brauer. You had First Lady Rosalind Carter, Justice Sandra Day O'Connor.
And the Andre Brauer thing really got people because, first off, the guy was totally aware of the irony of his roles, playing that stiff-lipped cop, right, on Homicide, and then playing the gay police captain in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Maybe his best role, because his comedy turned out to be pretty incredible, too, as an actor.
Super talented character actor.
We didn't mention Jeff Beck. Jeff Beck seemed like he was fine. No big deal. No illness. Just didn't come around one day. I know it happens. I don't have to like it, right? I still don't have to like any of this, right?
No.
All I would say is cherish the music that you love. And the actors that you love, too. I loved Alan Arkin. What an incredible actor.
It goes everywhere. It goes all throughout space.
So it's the Argonaut. What does Argo mean?
I don't know.
You don't know?
It means Argo, fuck yourself.
But this is part of life. The Lion King taught us all that, right? Circle of life stuff.
It is, and I expect 2024 will be a rough year as well. We have a lot of musicians, artists, and people that have done some great things in our lifetime or our lifeline of history that we could potentially lose this year.
Like the great Norman Lear at 101 years old.
Yep.
Thank you, Norman Lear, for all of the great shows and all the laughs and all you taught us.
You don't know nothing about Lady Liberty standing there in the harbor with a torch on high, screaming out to all the nations of the world, send me your poor, your deadbeats, your filthy. And all the nations sent them in here. They come swarming in like ants. Your Spanish PRs from the Caribbean there. Your Japs, your Chinamen, your Krauts and your Heaves and your Lincoln Spares. Come in here. And they're all free to live in their own separate sections.
There were a lot of firsts this year, and finales, too. The debut of The Sphere is a first, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's also the first time U2 gigged without Larry Mullen Jr. in the history of the band, right?
Correct. I'm sure it was awkward, but they seem to be okay, and hopefully Larry Mullen gets healthy in 2024, because you know he loves gigging with those cats. In the wild ride of pop music, this is the first time ever a pop star's tour grossed over $1 billion. Who was that person? Times Person of the Year, Taylor Swift.
You mean that woman from Berks County, as the Philadelphia Inquirer put in the headline?
Yes, that woman from Berks County.
Oh, so funny. This was the year, the first time, that Brenda Lee's Rocking Around the Christmas Tree was number one on the pop charts, 65 years after its release.
Rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party hop. Mistletoe hung where you can see every couple tries to stop. Rocking around the Christmas tree, let the Christmas spirit ring. Later we'll have
know what's really nice this Christmas season is that Brenda's still with us. And she got to enjoy that.
That's awesome.
Isn't that sweet? Yes.
Also, space tourism. Virgin Galactic is shooting tourists into space. Are they using a cannon or a rock launcher? Like one of them big boulder launchers you see in Monty Python.
And there it goes. The Virgin Galactic's first space tourism mission is on.
That is the VSS Unity rocket plane. Preparing to enter space after firing off from a spaceport in New Mexico this morning. It landed back in New Mexico roughly an hour after takeoff.
And protection. Are they using protection? That's what I want to know.
They have to wear a helmet.
Everybody has to come back safe. Yeah. Oh, okay. That kind of protection. You said they're shooting them into space. I just want to be sure they're protected and they have a way to land them.
Off we go into the wild blue yonder, climbing high.
They have a way to land, right? They came back safely, right? Richard Branson's good at stuff, right?
He is actually good at stuff. And I can't even imagine going into space to see the world from that view. It kind of, for me. But kudos to the people who can do it.
Sadly, there are finales. Not all the finales are truly sad or tragic, but things that came to an end this year, like Phantom of the Opera. Closing on Broadway after 35 years.
I saw it on Broadway. It's amazing. Saw it in Denver. Phantom of the Opera is amazing.
We saw finales from Beck and Tina, Pee-wee and Sinead, two of the Bachman brothers, Gina and Raquel, Belafonte and Roundtree. Jimmy Buffett checks out, bubbles up.
They will point us towards home, no matter how deep or how far we roam. They will show you the surface, the plot and the purpose. So when the journey gets long.
We also were given the gift of the final song from the Beatles via AI. And Aerosmith is at the end of the road. Sadly, due to injury, they had to cancel a bunch of dates. Let's hope that we can get a few more out of them in 2024 so they can end on their terms.
Billy Joel is counting down to the final dates of his historic monthly Madison Square Garden residency. And he got a visit from Elvis Costello as part of the start of the countdown. At the end of 2023. Congrats to Billy, a kid who just wanted to play the garden. He's done pretty well there. And speaking of the garden, Kiss in person for the final time, appropriately, in the city that gave them life, New York fucking City. Kiss at the garden. Advent of Avatar Performances. You predicted it a long time ago on this very podcast, Marcus, and you are right. And I also think you're right about the other thing, which is
definitely going to be a TSO style of Kiss. It's something they will do from a business standpoint or a franchise standpoint.
And when all that stuff starts following the Avatar appearances and stuff like that, remember you heard about it right here on this very podcast 2 years ago, at least.
At least.
Not that we really care about that kind of stuff, but here we are heading into another year. And I guess it's like 2 months and 2 days from the release of this episode, we'll be releasing our fifth anniversary episode. And it could be very interesting. We're still working on the details, but we want it to be tied into the 10th anniversary of our sponsor and friends at Crooked Eye Brewery, who are celebrating 10 years February 1st, and us 5 years March 1st. So somewhere in the middle, we'll figure that whole thing out. and we'll tell you about it when it's hitting wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks for listening to this one for 4 point whatever years so far. And if you just found us, you've got some catching up to do.
Thank you again for taking time out of your lives to listen to the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll. We appreciate your interaction. You can always email us, imbalancedhistory@gmail.com. You can hit us up on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Threads at the Imbalanced History of Rock and Roll, our website, imbalancedhistory.com.
Till the next time that we gather around these crusty microphones in the Dark Doc Media Studios, I'm Ray Koob.
I'm Marcus Goldman.
My hangover is almost cured, and this has been the Imbalanced History
of Rock and Roll.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more Fantasy Points.